everybody, to another edition of Wheel Travel, the podcast. I am your host, Jason Cobb, joined by none other than Josh Cobb out here at the compound in beautiful Whitman, Arizona. And we have, of course, the magnificent, the one and the only Vinny here. And Josh, how are you, buddy?
I'm tired.
Why?
Can I take a nap?
No. Why are you tired?
Just all that standing around at the shop, you know, making me real tired.
How about getting something done at the shop?
That would make me really tired. That's why I don't do that.
That's why that's not part of the program, huh?
Yep.
All right. What are you doing at the shop?
Nothing. Like I said, I stand around. Last time I was there, I helped Jeff put a tranny in.
And by that, you mean a transmission, not a person of...
No,
of questionable gender.
Person of questionable gender into the trunk.
Into the trunk.
Yeah.
You were done with her.
Yes.
Him. Shim.
Shim. It. Whatever it was.
Well, good for you. I didn't know you went to San Felipe. That's awesome. So what's, I saw Jeff this morning. We'll get into all of that.
Yeah. How was that? Sorry for not bringing you your bag. It's just I was walking out the door. And
hey,
when
how about the text of, hey, Josh, could you bring me my bag? And as you're walking out the door, now you're telling me this,
which
made it even easier. You could, less time for you to forget.
As I was walking out the door, you're like, and when I say I'm about to leave, that means I'm really about to leave. And
yeah, I understand what those words mean.
Right. But see, I have it planned out.
See, what happened was,
I'm going to walk into class the second class starts. That's how I plan my trip. I don't want to be in class any longer than I have to be.
Okay. I'm getting ready to call bullshit on this because you had just notified me that you weren't going to your first class because it got canceled, or what other lie did you come up with?
No, she's in Germany. She's in Germany for her anniversary.
Now, I never went to college, so I can't tell you what substitute teachers do or that you're supposed to be there studying, or she treated you like adults, God forbid, and gave you an assignment to work on. That doesn't happen. You just stay home.
We had an assignment.
Oh. Why didn't you go?
What are you talking about? Everything's online now. I did it literally last night. I talked words into my phone.
Wait, you did it last minute? You had it this morning and you did it last night? That's not like you.
I talked into my phone. I did the speech deal on
okay.
my phone.
Yeah.
Emailed it to myself, went back to my computer, and then just submitted it, and that was what we had to do. We just had to turn in a rough draft of our...
Speaking of rough draft, this is a rough draft. Okay, so anyway, so I asked you, Josh, on your way to school, could you please bring me my backpack?
You know what? My answer
and I
at that
you
point
on Happy
should
Valley.
Have just been no.
Wow.
You can't please everybody.
You didn't please anybody on that deal.
Yeah, but...
Not everybody, anybody.
I know, but...
Big difference.
How was New Orleans?
So it's been a while since we talked to you guys. We'll move on from this, and we'll probably circle back around. But been a while since we talked, probably 10 days or so since the last podcast.
10 days?
20 days?
15
days?
20?
No, it hasn't been that long.
It's been a few weeks.
It's been a long time. We're getting off of our schedule, and we're going to try to get back on it.
No, we're not.
One of us will. One of us is pretty fired up about it.
We are. I was the one that asked you to do it. I'm the one that's been bugging you for the past couple of days.
Is that right?
Yes,
you're
gonna
lie
right.
to these good people?
I.
The last couple of days.
All three of them? I'm lying. I'm lying to
your mother.
I'm lying to
Jeff.
Up, mom.
And Chris Wardle.
And Chris Wardle. That's who I'm lying to right now. You three, I'm terrible.
Because I know Rollin listens to these. I know he does. And Mike Watson used to. So I don't know if he still does.
Okay. The five of you. I'm terribly sorry.
All right. So anyway, it's been a while. We're back. We're doing this episode number 19. We're going to have a big party for 20.
Really?
No. But we are... what is today? Today's the 24th of April, and we are just sitting down for the right before the final stretch, before Silver State going back east, going to Barstow, going to Mexico. We got a whole bunch of stuff coming up. So
Wait, what are we going to Barstow for?
Well, let's get into that. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
So New Orleans.
Can I get something out of the way first?
Sure.
Okay. New Orleans is a piece of shit.
New Orleans isn't the cleanest, nicest,
whitest.
Yeah, it's not that. It's pretty flavorful. There's a lot of...
I didn't know Cajun meant...
Meant what?
Meant spicy.
No, you didn't. You thought it meant flavorful to the tongue, but instead it was...
I didn't know Cajun meant didn't cook. Because everything there was raw.
No.
We got raw oysters.
Yeah.
And we got raw crawfish.
No, you didn't get right. It was steamed, and then by the time it sat there on that huge plate...
It was cold?
Forever, it was cold.
By the time I summoned up the courage to take a bite of one?
This 98-pound girl sits down and orders 4 pounds of it. And I know you don't eat 4 pounds of it. I know that's what the crawfish weigh, but...
Yeah, they really suck you out of that.
Yeah, it's kind of like McDonald's with their pre-weight before cooking, you know? Your quarter pounder, that's not really what you're getting. Well, crawfish is even worse, right? Because not only are they soaked and boiled in water, so they're heavy, but you only eat just a small little one-inch section, and then you suck the head out of them. Ugh, God damn.
Yeah.
That's gross. Sorry.
Yeah. Not good. Not good.
Anyway, so we went to Gretchen's family reunion, and it was a memorial for her dad, which was really, really cool. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm making a mess over here.
What a jackass.
Dude, you pulled the...
You have destroyed this desk in the 2.5 seconds that you sat here, and you've made just a... put it down. Sorry, folks. Taking this picture and scraping the stuff off the back. Now, the picture is probably 25 years old, as is the frame.
25? You're like 15 in that photo, which makes it like 86 years old.
That's so messed up. Oh my gosh, this is so messed up. Anyway, so the A-Bears in New Orleans are quite predominant, and they're amazing people. We go to this family reunion, so we show up, and we go to dinner, and there was how many people at the first dinner, which was just the close-knit type family. There was 50, 40?
There wasn't that many, but there was like 38.
Oh, wow. It was way off. Yeah. So 38.
Well, the problem is they just kept coming.
I know.
We started the night with 20.
Yeah.
And then more and more people just kept showing up.
Well, that seemed to be the theme for the weekend, right?
That is true.
And then when we get there, we get into the airport, and there's all of these posters for WrestleMania. And all these colorful people. I assume that Florida was vacant when we were in New Orleans. Because every trailer park dude that was into WrestleMania was in New Orleans for that event. It was amazing. I've never witnessed anything like it.
They do know it's fake, right?
'Cause
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to turn into a little bit of a Californian right here, but I was afraid for my life when we stood behind the dude carrying the chair.
So we go to Supercross and we buy posters of our favorite guys and jerseys. And I have a rubber bracelet that looks like a tire. And I have my lanyard from the Monster Energy VIP. WrestleMania people, they get masks. They get tattoos of their favorite wrestler, and then they get chairs.
And I'm sure there was, like, a table and a ladder that was, like... And it all came in a set, I'm sure. They had to ship those home.
For sure.
But they could bring their chair onto the airplane.
The table that he jumps onto.
Yes.
The chair that he hits the dude with. and then the ladder that he gets up and jumps on the table with.
Yeah.
Yeah, it, for sure. There's a three-piece set. if you went to the meet and greet.
Oh, and you for were, sure.
Yeah, and you could get it home.
And you have season tickets. And
so this dude in front of us is checking in his chair. That is his prize. Have you ever seen anybody so proud in their life of something they got at an event?
Of a plastic chair?
That wasn't plastic. That was metal.
Okay.
That
sorry.
Was your, that your was... typical fold-up metal chair that you see at... When you go to the VFW for Grandpa Johnny's, you know, Pearl Harbor Memorial deal or whatever, those metal chairs that the seat folds down and the back legs push out and you sit down on them and they've been around for 150 years, that's the chair, except for the cushion on it had screen print of their favorite wrestler, right?
And I wasn't allowed to say black.
They weren't all... It was so scary how many just... I'm going to trailer trash looking people there were. And most now you got to give the African American community props on this one, because the guys that flew in for the event were white.
Yes.
Like I said, Florida was vacant.
Florida
and
was
chicks
vacant
with them. And there was more ripped denim and shirts with holes cut in them and tied up in the back. And
I don't know how over that weekend we didn't hear over the news, Cuba has now taken over Florida.
Yes, because no one was home.
There
to
was no
it.
White people.
Yes, for sure. And the fact of the matter is that we went down to Bourbon Street. Was that our first night, first day we landed, and then we went to the hotel, we got situated, then we went down and had that dinner, right?
Yeah, and then walked Bourbon Street.
Yeah, the dinner was phenomenal.
Yes, that was amazing.
And Gretchen had some stuffed lamb something and mushroom stuffed lamb, and I had lasagna or something.
No, she had lasagna, and we had the steak. And
oh, she had lamb lasagna.
She had lamb lasagna.
Lamb lasagna, that's
which
what
was,
it was.
Did you end up having any of that?
I did not.
Oh, dude, you missed out.
I did not.
Oh, you missed out.
Yeah, I heard it was phenomenal, but everything I had was unbelievable.
Well, that steak was awesome.
And then you, if I'm telling you that this has happened 5 times traveling with you, I'm lying. It's happened 10 times at least.
Yeah, triple it.
We're walking down the street. Now, mind you, this is, what was that? End of March or early April? It was early April.
Sure, I don't know.
So, it's springtime in New Orleans, and Josh's pants are so tight because he never tries anything on before he goes on a trip that he can't move his legs wide enough to get a full stride in. So he's falling behind as we're walking down the road. We have to stop at a store, and you bought pants.
I bought pants.
And you asked him to throw away the pants that you
and
had
I
on.
Wore them out.
And you wore
not
them
many
out.
People can say they've worn
to dinner.
Yeah, I did wear those to dinner.
Right to
and
dinner.
You know what? That was the best decision I had ever made. Those pants are so comfy, and I'm going to go buy 3 more of those.
Yeah, and then they'll sit in there because now it's summertime in Arizona, and it was 97 today. You're going to leave those pants sitting in there, and then we're going to go to New Orleans again or wherever our next adventure takes us to, and they're not going to fit you, and you're not going to try them on, so we're going to do this again because I've done this with you before. How about going to San Diego for a wedding and – what was sitting here? Your whole outfit.
No, that's not
absolutely true.
No, it wasn't. I had
bought you
some
pants, jacket, shirt, everything. And that was after you and I went to Men's Warehouse.
Wait, whose wedding was that?
It was something in San Diego. No. Whose was it? I don't know. It was Asia's.
Oh.
When Asia married Andy.
That's right. Oh. Huh.
So, anyway. Anyway.
Okay,
so
and that's...
you do this a lot.
Didn't we have to get stuff in Italy, too?
Yes, we bought... You didn't have shoes for Italy?
Oh, my God. That is so not true. That is so not true.
You did not...
I bought a pair of shoes.
One pair?
I bought one pair of shoes in Italy.
Joshua Brennan.
I can go get them. They're brown leather.
My feet are hurting me. My feet are hurting me. I need shoes. I can't make it through these. Your mom, you're walking too much. I don't want to see the Colosseum because my feet hurt. So then we go and buy shoes.
I remember you saying the same thing.
That's because I wanted shoes. I was jealous. I wanted shoes.
I bought one pair. Worst decision of my life. Italian leather. The Italians basically walk barefoot. There's no sole in there.
They're just a side of cavemen. Is that what you're saying?
It's a quarter inch of rubber for the bottom of the foot, and that's it. Covered in pretty much shag carpeting.
They're leather shoes. They're supposed to be worn to receptions.
Nowhere.
And weddings and
they're nowhere. So uncomfortable. There's no support on the sides. There's
Do you know
nothing.
Of a dress shoe that's not uncomfortable?
Yeah. Yeah, I owned a pair. Yeah, they were pretty.
And that's something we had to buy when we got to that whatever town that was.
But it was
anyway,
comfortable.
Let's go on. We go to the family reunion. The family reunion is so big for the A-Bears down there that they have to... There was 9 children originally. And so you can imagine each one of these... And they're like Mormons, man. They have kids after kids after kids having babies having babies.
Now these 9 are now great grandparents.
Yes, right. And everybody, I don't know what is going on with the... I think it's the humidity. I don't know what it is. But all of these people... We got introduced to this young man who I swear to God looked like he was 14 or 15. Nicest young man in the world. And I said, so when you get out of school, what are you going to do? And he goes, well, I've been out of medical school for 4 years. I'm an ER surgeon. I'm like, what? Huh? I'm getting married next month, and I'm doing this and doing that. And he was 28 years old.
Could have given the bouncer his real ID, still would have gotten kicked
out
of the club.
Still would have gotten kicked out. Yeah, you cannot come in this place.
Yeah.
As you walk right in.
Yes.
Right. So, unbelievable. And most of the people look like this. And 250 people show up. They had to get the Civic Center in New Iberia, Louisiana. And that was Saturday. And then everybody goes to everybody's house and hangs out. And because all of these people are musicians, we are playing at everybody's house.
There's music.
There's
the
music.
Whole time.
And it's not the radio.
The whole time.
It's
no.
Everybody that you're with singing. Oh, hey, remember this song? Or hey, remember that? Or whatever. It's absolutely amazing. I come from a super, super tiny family growing up of just my mom and my grandma. And then when I was older... I found out that, you know, there was a second half to my family. I started hanging out with my dad, and that was much bigger. But I'm not used to this whole family concept thing like we are today. And to see that many people in one spot, and they all pretty much knew each other, and they all came in from Phoenix and Dallas and California. And
well, but most of them are like, oh, hey, Bill, what's up? Yeah, you going to the cookout this Thursday? You know, they all live right there.
Right, exactly. Absolutely amazing. Total blast. The fact that these guys are unbelievable musicians, and I'll give you to what level that they are. So, my nephew Corey, plays in a, punk heavy metal, death metal band. He's the bassist.
Shocker.
Yeah. And then we have Josh or Jason or whatever that guy's name was. That
Jason.
Was the opera singer.
Jason's an opera singer?
No. Oh, so Jason was the drummer for Jessica Simpson. So Jason was the drummer for Jessica Simpson. And then Dave was the opera singer?
I don't know, dude.
Who's the guy that sang at the memorial?
Oh, no clue, dude. I steered way clear of them.
That was amazing, though. So this guy has an internet online. I'll teach you how to play piano on the... And he's talking to me about podcasts because he wants to do a podcast.
Wait, and that was Jason as well, right?
I think it was.
Gretchen, or was that the other James. Guy? James. Because, like, James. Jason had a twin, but they weren't twins. But you could definitely tell same gene pool.
For sure. And that's who it is. That's his brother.
Okay.
So Jason's his brother. And Jason is the opera singer / piano player. And he can teach you online to play the piano over the internet, and because of that, he gets $1.99 per video watch or whatever. And then, so anyway, so I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen all you A-Bears play the piano. You're all really good. No, this guy was not really good. He was friggin' phenomenal. It was unbelievable. He sat down holding a conversation, and he was doing Mozart's Concerto Number 20 in E flat minor on a with his hand one hand tied behind his back, playing with his left foot, and it was unbelievable. He was extremely, extremely talented. And then, so we went there for Gretchen's father's. So Sunday, it's actually really cool. Her grandparents only lived in one house ever after they were married. After he left home back in early 1900s or whatever it was, he moved into this house, married this woman, and they had 9 kids. And they lived in one house their whole entire life.
And that was Mama and Papa, which is Mama, the parents Papa, right. of the nine
kids. Right, exactly. Who yeah, would be the father of Gretchen, right?
Right.
So one of the nine kids
that are
Gretchen's
now
father,
great-grandparents.
Who is no longer with us. So, and he died earlier this year. So their house, they no longer own their house, but it's an Airbnb house now. Vinny's about to go crazy, and it's his mom. It's an Airbnb, and so we rented it for the party on Sunday, which was a memorial for her dad because they were unable to spend time with the family after her father passed. So it was really cool. It was to be part of that. And to be there and to do it during the family reunion was just unbelievable. And it was huge. It was a blast. But the WrestleMania thing made it absolutely unforgettable. I have never in my life experienced anything like that. I was a little nervous. We went to Bourbon Street on a Wednesday or Thursday, whenever it was packed.
It was Thursday.
And I was waiting for people to fly off the balcony and land on the street and realize that they weren't on a spring-loaded wrestle mat. And there was, you know, just drunk wrestle fans everywhere. Lots of masks like you see in Mexico. It was fun. We had a blast. We ran into Gretchen's nephew and niece there. And we ended up drinking with them all night long. And to the point where he could not dial an Uber. That was friggin' hilarious.
That was funny and annoying all at the same time.
Yeah, he became your best cousin ever because he was draping himself on you for
yes, because I had to carry him around
blocks.
Bourbon Street.
Yeah, exactly. And then he couldn't dial Uber. He finally gets a hold of Uber and he sends them to where they want to go to pick him up, not to where they are. And so then he's laying in the street with Mrs. Cobb. Hello, Mrs. Cobb.
Well, hello, gentlemen.
Welcome home. So that was how our weekend started. And so by the WrestleMania and that, we knew it was going to be a great trip. The music was phenomenal, and it was really, really cool. Glad to be home. The WrestleMania thing was unbelievable. Then after that, we had a couple of days off, and headed over to, we had a full weekend because Thursday was Desert Storm. And then,
which was this past weekend.
Okay. And before that was San Felipe, the UTV World Championships.
Well, that was the weekend that we were gone in New Orleans. You're missing a couple weekends in between there and there.
So, but my point is yeah, you're right. While we were in New Orleans,
yes,
was San Felipe 250, UTV World Championships. So the season kickoff for SCORE, the biggest UTV race on the planet.
Yep.
The SNORE Motion Tire 300, which is a great race, and Lucas Oil. Is that right? Or Lucas Oil was the weekend after?
Lucas was the weekend after.
So you have three major events on the same weekend, and I know that we have to cram everything into the spring and the fall and the winter, but what are we doing? I mean, wouldn't you want RJ Anderson, and he's a bad example because he's racing trucks now. I know, but he, I know he was at UTV World Championships. But in his heyday, if he was still racing, wouldn't he want to be at Score and at Wayne Matlock? I mean, he's a guy that does the Score series. And I know he wants to race UTV World Championships. How does he do both?
He didn't. He went to Score.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he go to Score? And I'm not saying Wayne Matlock. I'm saying, does a racer make a choice to go to Score because all of the big guys are at UTV World Championships and you have a chance to jump ahead of them on points and you have a chance to get a win where normally you might? Or does that racer, is he just staying true to his guns? You know, this is a decision I made. I'm doing the Score series and that's it.
I don't know. Which is weird because he's a factory Razor guy.
Yeah, but Polaris definitely has more loyalty to the Best in the Desert series, which this is a Best in the Desert event.
Right.
So,
well, maybe they said, hey, we need you to go over there because everyone else.
Because RJ Anderson and Ronnie Anderson and Shelby Anderson, yeah, and all that.
We need a Razor to go win.
And Brandon Sims.
San Felipe, yeah, because all of our heavy hitters are over here.
You think that happened? I mean, it's possible. I know it's not a crazy idea.
I don't think that happened. I'm just saying it's possible that,
sure,
it could have.
I could see that though, and he'd be one of the guys that I would send to win a Score race. I mean, he's really good at that, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, so that all happened. Who won San Felipe? What was that all about?
Oh, really, dude? You opened the last one. Oh, that's right, Rob Mack with Cameron Steele right behind him.
So Cameron was first off the line, right?
Yes, and was the first to cross the finish line.
So he was never passed by Rob Mack. He had a flawless day and lost by 3 minutes and 40 seconds, roughly.
Correct.
That's pretty good. Good for Cameron. And then Luke McMillan.
How did Luke beat Andy?
They must have had... I mean, at San Felipe, a flat causes you... You know, I mean, the difference between first at 5:20:16, 5 hours, 20 minutes, 16 seconds, and fifth, 5 hours, 32 minutes, 15 seconds.
12 minutes.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
That's pretty good.
So go down 5 more to 10. Chris Miller, 5:53:37. Not, you know, what are you talking about?
And have you ever heard of Chris Miller?
No.
Right.
But you're talking about 33 minutes difference. Between
right.
the top 10.
Right.
That's insane. That's awesome. That's great. Steve Olegus gets 12. But how about Luke McMillan, Andy McMillan, Ryan Archiero, and Dan McMillan? That takes you down through sixth. It was really fun, actually, watching this in Louisiana. Some of the video I saw from this deal was unbelievable. You know, BJ Baldwin going through people's camps, the chaos, the carnage. They've got to get a handle on that. It's going to be a problem, and I do believe it's Score's responsibility to do that.
Did you hear what's going on with the guy that owned that campsite, I guess?
Uh-uh.
He did this whole online video thing saying, yeah, there were 4 kids under that tent, all under the age of 10, and 2 of them were mine. He's saying that when BJ went through, there were 4 kids under that tent. There was nobody anywhere close to that.
I didn't see anybody in that under that tent.
No, there was not. And so apparently it's this whole thing. And at one point I heard it was going to end up in a lawsuit, but I'm not sure on that.
Huh.
But, I mean, who do you sue? Do you sue BJ?
You sue whoever you can get a dime out of.
Yeah.
You go after everybody. You know, BJ's a Toyo guy, right?
Yeah.
BJ's a Monster guy. BJ's a Toyota guy. BJ's in Score. You know, you go after all of them.
Yeah. But that was insane watching. Did you watch the video?
You can't
of,
put that there.
Did you watch the video of... So, Cole Potts is coming through the middle of the desert trying to get back on the course.
Right.
And there's another truck headed directly at him the opposite direction, trying to get back on the course.
It was Rob Mack, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Rob.
I saw one where Rob was circling around and
yes,
somebody else...
Rob was circling around, and then...
Dan?
No, it wasn't
Cameron.
Dan. It was
somebody.
Somebody in the back. But Yeah, that was funny too, is somebody said that they were on the same trail that Rob took, which took them through all the tents and through all the cars and through all the crowds, and they were happy to be on the same course as Rob because they knew they made the right decision at that point.
Right. So when they pre-run, there's nobody out there.
Right.
And they've got clear shot of the desert. But then when they come their race day, there's 10,000 people camped out there, and now they're going through every one of those spots, right?
Right.
So, I laser focus for those guys to figure out how to get back on course, and those guys to get that stuff. Amazing. They've got to do something about that. Whatever happened to 50 feet off the center of the course? I mean, that's a rule.
Yeah, that doesn't get followed in Baja.
Why not? It's a rule.
Yeah, I understand it's a rule, but that doesn't get followed in Baja.
So, UTV World Championships. Well, wait a minute. Let's finish up on San Felipe. So, Rob Mack, Cameron Steele, Luke McMillan, top three. Trophy Truck Spec. Who's Scott Beaumont? Scott Beaumont.
Scott Biernott.
Biernott. Gonzalo Piron, I know him. John Langley. Oh, wait, that's 8th, 9th, and 10th. Where's the rest of that? Sorry, guys. Guys and gals. No, go up.
How do we zoom out?
Huh. Jeez Louise. We don't know what's going on here.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So, all right. So, there's Trophy Truck Spec right there.
Were you impressed at all with how many trophy trucks there were? I was, considering last year there was like 7. This year there were 25. That's a pretty
30.
That's a pretty big swing. And then there was 4 more that were in the Trophy Truck Legends. And I don't know how a legend, and I mean zero disrespect by this, but Russell Buehler, I'm not saying I know everybody in the sport, but how is he a legend?
You just have to have raced in the sport for like more than 20 years. That's what classifies you as a legend. So, well, you would be a legend.
So I could race Trophy Truck Legend?
Yes.
I don't have to be over 60 or anything like that. According to you, I'm 82. Or actually, plus 15, so that's 97. Gustavo Vildósola, that makes sense. He is a legend,
right?
And he is getting up there. Clyde Stacey makes sense. Rob Reinertsen. Rob Reinertsen does not seem old enough to be in that class, but it was cool. I think he brought Big Mac, which was a legendary truck back then, and then Rob Reinertsen, of course, of Pro Truck fame and everything like that. Justin Davis wins class 1, followed by the Wilsons, both in 2nd and 3rd. Good for those guys. Shelby Reed, notable, in 5th. Then Trophy Truck Spec. So, again, kind of making my point, William Hedrick Jr., never heard of him. Bryce Swaim?
Swaim.
Never heard of him. Rafael Navarro, I know that name. Elias Hanna, I know that name. Craig Christie, I know that name. Trotter, Hunter, amazing. I mean, there's all these new names that are out there running around. 1-2-1600 has 12 entries. We get 1 here in the States. That's crazy to me. Look, there's even 4 Class 8 cars. That's pretty great. That's pretty typical of Mexico. Who won Class 10, Josh?
Class 10 would...
There we go.
Chase Warren. That's right.
Corey Goen, Cody Reed. So all the usual suspects.
Weird. Where's the kid at?
The kid.
The kid who wins everything up here.
Kevin Davis?
No.
Or the other Davis?
No.
Justin
no.
Davis.
No, it's not a Davis.
Hey, oh boy,
we're almost out of battery. Who drives the Method car up here?
Oh, up here. Yeah, he doesn't go down there. Brock Hedger? Hager?
Brock Heger.
Heger. So Josh has his computer in the center of 2 power cords. I gave him mine and then he has the one he's normally plugged into, and he's a foot away from both of them, left or right.
Oh, son of a... And I can't move it because of the HDMI cord.
Right. We don't need that. We don't need that. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, do you want to see results?
Well, sure I do. Well, so anyway. So congratulations to those guys. They had a great race. They had a decent turnout. I'm pretty impressed. There's your mom's back there. So now you're a foot away from three of them. So, the UTV World Championships had a huge turnout once again. I do want to look when Josh gets this all sorted out. I want to look at the schedule because I saw something. We did not go, obviously, but saw something that had contingency starting at midnight. Something like that.
Hey, we're plugged in.
So, Josh, pull up. Go to the Best in the Desert site, if you would, and pull up the schedule for the UTV World Championships, if you might.
That was when they had the jump contests and everything.
But, so contingency, which, when I'm used to it, being open across the street at the casino.
From, you know, excuse me, 8 to 5 or 8 to 4 or whatever.
8 a.m. on Friday. To 5, and then they have all the racing on Saturday, right?
Yes.
So, hang on. So, Thursday's the welcome party. Friday was the youth race, registration, tech, and contingency. So, that's interesting that they moved the youth race over, which is probably a great idea. And then Saturday was race day only. Click on the entry list.
Draw order or entry list?
Entry list. That's why I said entry list. So go,
You're looking at quads and bikes right now?
Yeah.
Here we go. UTV production.
Go. 52 entries in UTV production. 52 entries in UTV production. Next page. And 52 entries in UTV Productions. Stop. UTV Unlimited, 9 entries. UTV Production, 900, 1 entry. I'm surprised that class isn't doing more. I'm surprised that Polaris hasn't put more emphasis on that. I'm surprised that Kawasaki doesn't run somebody in that with their 800 or 750 or whatever the hell their thing is. I'm surprised that Articat doesn't run something in there to kind of be the 250 class of UTV racing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm surprised that didn't take off. UTV production 1,000, so that's non-turbo, so 37 entries. Keep going. So 700 and 800, so there's your Kawasaki's. So they have a 700, 800 class and a 900 class. And then they have UTVS. So is that the short course deal?
It has to be.
Only 17 entries. So I would have to say that entries are down, right? I mean, because before they were talking about 300 entries. And
well, another 57 entries with UTV Turbo.
So what's the difference between that UTV go up to the other?
There's UTV Production 1000.
Right. Production 1000 is non-turbo.
And then what is UTVP?
Oh, okay. So I don't know what that is. And how can...
UTV Production, is that the stock class? Well... What does Maddie run?
Oh, so okay. So that's the non-turbo class. That UTV production is the stock class.
Oh, with 37 entries.
Yep.
Okay, yep, that makes sense.
So, all right. So, in between bikes and quads that also race down there, they're right there. So, not bad. UTV production, UTV short course, that's shrunk. That's now only 17 entries, and that's your works cars. It's very misleading. It's your single seat cars, right?
Right, but it's weird because it's not a short course.
It's not a stadium car. It's not a Lucas car. It's a works car.
Right. Racing on a desert course.
Right, exactly, which I don't think should be, but
no,
whatever. And then UTV Turbo, that's all your heavy hitters, and then
UTV Production Turbo.
Oh, so there's a stock. There's a UTV Turbo and a UTV Production.
I would say entries have gone up.
I can't keep track of
that. Yeah, I know. 42 entries in 170.
170, yeah. 16 entries in 250, which is way up.
Yes.
Because that was like four.
Yeah. And that's it.
Wow. Yeah, so it is going up. So good for them. It's still growing. That's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing to me. What's even... Now go to results. You can click out of there. And they had the jump-off deal, which was pretty cool. Overall finishers in Group C.
Which is UTV production, UTV short course. Here.
So the winner in UTV...
We're going to go to the real just results. So what do you want to know for all by class?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So.
Sierra Aguilera wins the 300 class. Good for them. on the motorcycles.
We could have won that.
Yeah, we could have. And Brett Aguilera, I'm going to bet that's brother and sister. But go down, let's start with UTVs.
UTV production.
Dodge Pullman. So is that the Supercross.com guys?
Yes.
Good for them. And then Jeff Obering and Mike DeLay.
Have you heard of second through sixth? Do you know any of them?
No, but how about a major shout out to Maddie in seventh out of 50 some odd cars? Beating the likes of Corey Weller and who else is in there? Jonathan McVay, George Felix, Ryan Pullman, Seth Quintero. Man, she put a Greg Rowe. She put a whooping on those guys.
Yeah, she did.
Nice job, Maddie. Good for you. That PRP car is working well.
Yeah, they've got that thing pretty dialed.
So who's prepping that thing now that the Lashers are no longer involved with side-by-side performance? Are they still doing it just out of their garage, or who's doing it?
I know Matt has something. Matt is prepping it. I don't know with who. I know Maddie's out there sometimes, and I know some of the other PRP. The usual PRP gang,
right,
hangs out in the garage.
UTV production... Shelby Anderson puts a smackdown on all the boys, and she won.
She won it by 30 seconds.
That was a close race. And again, there's Sierra Romo, Seth Quintero, Sean Hess, Bullock. Wow, a lot of people in that. Fantastic. And then wait, go up to
that's just the end of production 1000.
So where's this class start right here? So go up to that UTV Pro. I'm so confused on all these UTV Pro, UTV
that's,
or UTV
that's P. That's this class. That starts here. We already talked about that.
Okay. So go on. Sorry. And then there's UTVP and UTVPROD 1000 and UTVPROD 1000 and 700 and 800 and UTVS. UTVS was run Cody Bradley. I don't know any
Cody,
of those.
Cody guys. Bradbury?
Bradbury, sorry. UTV Turbo, Phil Blurton, nice job. Ryan Holes, Jacob Carver. Matt Burrows has really turned into one hell of a racer. Jason Murray. Go down. Brandon Schuler. Wow. Darren Parsons. Darren Parsons is racing a UTV now?
I guess.
Wow.
Got ninth. And UTV production turbo, that's got to be stock turbo, right?
Fuck.
If they're running 45 numbers, 4,500,
yeah.
That starts here. So Dustin Jones won that.
Brandon Sims, Jacob Carver.
Cody Bradbury.
Wow. Cool. Well, good for them. Nice turnout. Great job. Did RJ Anderson race? I thought he did. I don't see his name anywhere.
Shelby Anderson. Ronnie Anderson.
RJ Anderson. 21st.
21st in UTV production turbo.
Huh. Cool. Well, good for those guys. Good family. And then the Snor Motion Tire 300, but we won't go through all of that. So, but that was one weekend. That's ridiculous. You guys, quit putting races on top of other races, especially when they're big races. Shame on you, Roger. Shame on you, Snor. Shame on you, Matt Martelli. So, then we went to Desert Storm, which was the next Thursday. So, if you don't know what Desert Storm is, other than the conflict in Iraq, Desert Storm is a poker run.
Is a conflict in Lake Havasu.
It's a conflict in Lake Havasu, where we bring all of our most ambitious military personnel
yes.
to take on the lake that is Lake Havasu. And they take these huge million-dollar offshore-style boats, boats that are so big that they don't fit on the trailer. They have to... They park them on the trailer, and then they hydraulic them up to where the boat is literally sideways on the trailer. And on Thursday, they do the street party, and it's open from noon to whenever, and it literally says whenever. And it is when they walk in, everybody's pretty, and when they walk out, everybody's ugly because they are smashed.
Yes.
And the wind was blowing 1,000 miles an hour, and it was hot, and... we have twice now. One time we displayed up in the main street. But twice now we've been kind of outside of Main Street. And it's not nearly as cool as being up top. And we need to make sure that we get up top. But if you haven't gone, you need to go. Just even if you're not really into boats, it's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. You're looking at, you know, LSXs and, you know, twin LSXs powering these boats. And
one guy was telling me that this boat that they had made a run in earlier that day, they had dynoed it at 2,012 horsepower.
Oh my God.
And they were trying to bump it up to 2,200 to get the thing to come out of the hole better. Now, you take a 60-foot boat and try to get it to come out of the hole better, or 40-foot or whatever the hell it was, and it's got a family of six on it, and
yes,
and their maid and their butler and all those people. These boats are amazing, and the attention to detail, everything is anodized, and it matches, and everything is painted, and it's unbelievable. And if you like good-looking people around boats, you need to show up. It's pretty amazing. So that's always in Lake Havasu in March or April, depending on, you know, where it falls. It's a little later this year. The wind was better this year, even though on Thursday it was horrible. But it was great. We saw a lot of Trophy Light people. Kyle Arnsberg was there. Craig Spitz was there. Jacob Spitz was there. We saw the guy that had the first. This was his claim to fame. I had the first Trophy Light in Nevada. And I said, You owned one? And he said, no. I was there when they first came out, the very first race we went to that was not down in Plaster City, I was the first one at the race. I was very confused at this
point. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was interesting. Then we had, hustled back home. Because you had talked me into this stupid Sprint Hero, the Sean over at Works, has figured out that he's bringing this back east phenomenon to the West Coast, and it's called Sprint Hero. And the last time I rode my motorcycle was the Cancer Ride last year.
Yeah.
And so Josh sells it to me by saying, hey, Dad, this is perfect for you. And I said, oh, yeah? Why is that? Why would I be so stupid as to go do this race when I haven't ridden in a year? And your answer was, because you go like 5 miles and then you stop for like an hour. And you can relax and you can work on your bike and you can get something to eat and you can check on the Diamondbacks and you can all these things. That's what you sold it to me as.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. I didn't sell you on anything. That's how they sold it to me. So that's how I sold it to you.
So I said, well, I can do 4 miles.
Yeah.
Let's go. Right?
Yeah.
So we load up the box van, which a fantasy of mine has always been to put my motocross bike in a box van and go to a race. And to get to do that with my son was really, really cool. And for 18 years, I have been the faster Cobb on a bike. And I have lost that title officially. And it took me a while to get past my old man. It didn't take you long to get past your old man.
Well, it's been a big year for you. I mean,
yeah, the training wheels came off in February.
And, well, I mean, you lost being fastest on a bike, and you've lost being fastest in a car.
Oh, my God.
And you've lost in being the strongest. So,
wow.
You really...
It has been a tough year.
Don't have anything left.
Yeah.
Huh.
Somehow still the best looking one.
Ooh. I don't know that. I mean, Vinny's pretty good looking.
Vinny is stunning.
Yes.
Vinny is stunning. So, you're of the guys. You don't count. You're the only girl in this mess. Not only are you the best looking one in the family, but you're the only girl. You're the best looking girl here by default. So, we don't want... We can't even... You're a 9.9 and we're sixes.
In Whitman.
She's a Whitman 9.9.
Which makes it a California 3.
Wow. Not my girl.
No, not you.
Wow.
I'm just saying a Whitman 9.
Standard.
A yeah. Whitman 9 is a California 3.
Yeah. Yeah. Standard.
Which makes it a Phoenix 6.
Right.
Which makes it a Minnesota 38.
Wow. Wow. Shots fired.
Oh, shots and fired Alex listens to this.
Shots fired across the pond. Oh, yeah. There's number 6, and he will no longer be listening to this. There's some hot-ass women up in Minnesota.
No, they just don't wear bras.
God bless them.
I know.
That is awesome.
So when are we going back to X Games?
Yes, I think we should. I think we should go back this year.
You ready? I'm competing this year.
So, yeah, now that I've done Sprint Hero. So this Sprint Hero deal is really, really cool. It took us a long time to figure out the format, but you race. It's 2 days. Here's the confusing part. You line up by how you registered, by your class, by your ability level. For instance, pro, expert,
open A,
open amateur, open novice, or open B, open C, open A, B, and C, right?
Yeah.
And then 300 A, B, and C, and then 250 A, B, and C, and then 125 A, B, and C, and then 80, you know, on and on and on and on. So that's how you do it when you line up on Saturday. You do it by how you registered and then your class ability. So if we were the second person in open C, then we would be at the back of the group and we would be in front of the C guys because we're open, and we'd be the second bike off the line. So then they regroup everything after you do 2 deals. Now, you start in this chute, and it's single file. Even though you're on a motocross track, on a motocross gate,
you start...
It's you...
On the start straight.
Every 20 seconds.
Yes.
And you start by yourself, and when you leave, you don't know where you're going. So, it's really weird to be on a motocross track and you're following desert arrows on a motocross track.
Yes.
So you go down and you rail the first corner, or you feel like you're railing yeah. the first corner. Then you go back and watch the video, not so railing. You rail the first corner, and then you're on the motocross track. So not only are you setting up for the next corner, but you're trying to find the next arrow to see where you go.
Right, because you might be going straight off the course. You might be...
Right. And all the videos that we watched, they were bypassing all the jumps heading out into the desert.
Right.
That was not the case for us. So for us, we did almost an entire motocross lap. And right before we took the last left-hander to go back down to do the tabletop and go back down the hill to where we started from, we went straight off into the desert and we went over to the vet track.
Yes.
We did the vet track that was not watered.
No, and it was rocky.
Rocky, and... dusty, and I loved the fact that I'm in third gear, fourth gear, finally not on a motocross track, able to go fast, and when the dust cleared, right in front of me was a wire fence and going the wrong direction and a light stanchion, you know, that generator that has the big lights up yes. in the air, but the lights weren't up, so I couldn't see it. Luckily for me, the second time we went by, the lights were up. That was nice. Thank you, whoever did that.
Wait, so, where was this at?
Right when you exited the course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you kind of step back up.
Step up and then jump off the berm.
Yes. Yeah, right.
Land
and then there
on
was
flat.
A fence right there.
Grab a handful. And as soon as you could see what was going on, there was a fence right in front of you.
Yeah.
And you turned right and went around the berm that you just went around going the opposite direction.
Which seems dangerous.
No. It's just like racing in Mexico. And except for you're in the States. So then we head out into the desert, and then there's a guy standing at the end of a road on a quad, and he's just really lazily telling you to go this direction, you know? So go left. So you turn left, and the course is right there, but you don't go. The natural instinct would be to turn onto the vet track, but you didn't. You went across two lanes and then hopped on the vet track.
Right.
So I turned with everybody else and went around, and then everybody saw that we were going the wrong way. So then it looked like a three. It looked like a Benny Hill thing, which you don't know what that is. But
wait, isn't that the like in Scooby Doo, where everyone's going through the wrong door?
Yes, exactly. So you gotta stop. So. Gretchen's making faces at me, and I'm not having it. So, get around that, get on the course, over the jumps, passing people. You're not even supposed to be really passing people because you started 20 seconds apart.
Right.
And you would think in 4 miles they could kind of maintain that 20, whatever. I mean, even if you beat them by 5 or 10 seconds, which is a lot.
Right, you're still not going to pass them.
And I passed 2 or 3 people, and I had a horrible lap. This was I called it my sight lap. So, out through the desert, through the big tunnel, but you went across it, into the desert whoop section, down into the backside of the motocross GP course.
Yes.
And then up the hill right by our camp, and then into the finish line.
Yeah.
And so that was lap one. Lap two, and so here's where the bullshit starts with Josh Cobb, okay? So I come in. I can't even feel my hands. My arms are pumped up so hard. I'm breathing like all the air has escaped the planet, and it's the last breath of air is remaining in my lungs.
Let's keep in mind, this was a 4-minute lap.
It was like a 5.5-minute lap. It was a 4-mile lap. It was 3.9-mile lap.
5.5-minute lap.
So, I no warm-up, no nothing. Hop on the bike, go. Okay? Haven't ridden in a year. So then, take off. So, I'm tight. I come across the finish line. I rail the finish line corner, which, to me, I'm like, all right, victory. There we go. So, I head over to the tent, sit down. And because Josh has told me now, I get to relax and put my feet up and watch the Diamondbacks and have some breakfast and pet Vinny and do all those things. Then all of a sudden, right as my butt hits the chair, they go, all right, boys, let's line them up again.
Yeah. about that.
That wasn't even close to what you said it was going to be.
They said...
Now, in your defense, there was still another 15 minutes before we went off.
Yes.
So there was plenty of resting. But then you get chastised because you're not in line because you want to be sitting on the chair drinking water and taking a hit off of something with compressed air into it, hoping to get air into your lungs.
Yes.
And so then the guy's like, hey, you're right here in front of 143. You know, you got to get over here sooner. I'm like, dude, I don't want to sit on my bike in the sun. I want to sit on that chair in the air conditioning next to that good-looking girl, right? So here we go. We're starting again, and we do the exact same course.
Yes.
So then we come back, and then we head into the desert. So you start the exact same way, but now this time you're headed on this. Literally, he walked it because you could see where he parked the quad and then walked through this virgin brush and put ribbon and arrows and stuff. And then by the end of the weekend, it was just a shithole.
Yes.
And silty, powdery. We haven't had rain in forever. But it was a friggin' blast. It was a great format. I really wish we would have gone to the one in Utah where there was a little moisture in the ground, where you were racing around trees and all sorts of stuff like that. And then the one at Glen Helen looked amazing too. So next year, we're going to do those.
We're going to do the whole series?
We're going to do the whole series. Three race series. Absolutely. I'm in love. It was cool. And once my body kind of got adapted, we sandbagged. We shouldn't have ridden that C class.
I don't know about you, but I think I fit perfect in C.
Yeah? What did you do? How did you do?
I won.
Oh, yeah, you won both days, right?
I didn't win day one.
Oh, you were second on day one?
Yeah.
So here's the confusing part as well. So anyway, we did six motos on Saturday.
And six on Sunday.
And then six on Sunday. I did not ride on Sunday. I had some old man issues on Saturday night.
Little wussy baby.
And decided not to ride on Sunday. And I still managed to get third.
Yes.
How the hell does that happen?
You're fast.
Oh, it must be it. But I was only second on Saturday.
Well, yeah, that's because you have three guys in your class.
Well, and the guy that was first
didn't
show up on Sunday like I didn't.
Right. And so the guy in third got moved up to first because he showed up both days. So if you showed up on Sunday, you would have won.
Yes. If I would have started on Sunday, I would have won.
Yeah.
Anyway. The course was incredibly rocky, incredibly slow. I did not get into third gear but one time. I got into third gear a couple times on the motocross track section.
Yeah.
That one, but on the desert loop, one time, I got into third. And now, mind you, I've got desert gearing on my bike and stuff. First is really, really tall. Most guys start a 450 in second or third, depending on the gearing. I started in first, if that gives you any indication. But I had a blast. Thank you for inviting me. It was awesome. That the rest was just the right amount of time. It was pretty cool.
I'm just glad that you enjoyed it and that we get to go do it again.
Works puts on something called Sprint Hero. If you ride a motorcycle, go check it out. It is really, really cool. But that same weekend was Lucas Oil. So we got done at 3:00. And we loaded up. We got changed in the car, which was hard to do with four of us, two girls, your girlfriend and my wife. We headed over to Lucas, hauled ass, and got there just in time to see the Golden Boy.
Yes.
Luke Knupp lead everybody around on the parade lap. Perfect timing. We walked right up and got to hang out with JR from K1, and I got to see the boys from Rugged Radio, Lance and everybody, and Just was there. And
oh, what? Speaking of Rugged Radio, what did you think about their new hose?
Oh my gosh, that thing is rad.
Their collapsible hose.
Who would have? It is so cool that someone came up to me and said, "Did you see the new hose from Rugged Radio?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? I know everything that Rugged Radio has," and I had no idea what it was. And it is bitching.
Which just means they're hiding secrets from us, and that's not okay.
That's not right. That's not right. Something needs to happen with that.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
I think we should be the first to know. I worked there for a month.
I think you're still on the payroll.
I hope so.
Yeah. Greg has been good to us, but this is where it stops. You can't keep secrets from us. We're your test team.
This is what I'm talking about.
So what, is that jackass Steve Bouchard going to test stuff? No.
He's not?
Oh, yeah, he probably does.
He's probably a little better than
he's
us.
He's a really good... He is probably better than us at testing that stuff. So, all right, never mind. Sorry, guys. Anyway, that thing is rad. So if you don't deal with air pressure hoses on your race cars, stuff like that, this one is spring-loaded. And as you turn your head, it gets longer and shorter. And that way it doesn't fall behind your back. It doesn't get pinched off. It doesn't hold. It's bitching. It is really cool. Good job to those guys. It is a neat, neat product. I can't wait to test one. And we'll give you a full review on it coming up. And anyway, so we saw those guys. We saw, you know, we're Yokohama boys now. But it was great to see Tony and Spencer from General Tire.
Yes.
Still part of the family. Love those guys. It was great to see them. It was also great to see Shelby Anderson and Hot Rod. And
always a good time when Hot Rod's
always
around.
A good time. But what was really, really cool was Luke Knupp leading those guys around. First lap, carnage happens. For 20 laps, carnage happens. They probably race twice as long as what they normally do because of all the yellows.
Oh, dude, there was like 8 yellows in that
and
race.
And black flags and everything. Luke Knupp puts on his desert face because he had to because he drove 200 miles to get that short course win.
Yes.
And he comes in and he gets on the podium. And, you know, looking at those other kids are like 13 and 14. How old is he?
Well, there are kids out there that are 16.
16.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
He's 11.
One guy drove up in his Pantera and parked it inside the Stackard RV, you know, trailer that
of
they
course.
Have.
Right.
And then got out and then got going. And then here's Luke at 11, who is on his pit bike playing with his G.I. Joes in the dirt.
Right.
Because he's still so young. And he goes out there and he puts a whooping on those guys. And then after... I'm not a fan of Lucas. However, I would love to drive it. I'm a fan of it. It's just not for me. I don't want to go and sit out there for 15 minutes of track time. And for 30 minutes of frustration, which is go to tech, go to this, go to that. And my buddy Greg runs tech. You know, Nikki Fouts doing the media and sign up and registration and all that stuff. We're heavily tied to the sport. And I believe in the sport tremendously. It's a great series. It's just not for me. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to go and sit for 2 days in a parking lot somewhere and only get 15 minutes of seat time. And kudos to those guys for doing it. But how about Jeff? His kid crosses. Now, Luke's won regional series, and Luke's the winningest trophy cart JR1 or whatever it is, winner.
Yes.
Of all time. They're not strangers to the winner circle, but now they've moved up. He finally got old enough to race in this mod cart class. He moves up. They put the thing on the box in, what is, sixth race or seventh race ever in this class. They put the thing on the box, and Dad, do you have time to hug your kid and shed a tear? No. Hey, get your ass over to tech and pull the motor out of this car. It's bullshit. It keeps racing fair and being involved with Trophy Light. I get it.
Oh, and by the way, that motor that you just took out, yeah, you can't put that back together. You're going to have someone else get that back together. That's going to cost you like $2,500.
Yeah, if you know somebody.
Right.
It's $2,500. They tear the motor apart there on site, cylinder off, crank exposed, everything, and then they hand it back to you in a crate.
Yeah, and say good luck.
Good luck to you. We'll see you at the next round. Thanks for coming. $5,000 later, you've driven over to LA, or you've had so and so put it together, or whatever. Unbelievable. I really feel for those guys. It's not going to stop us from doing the same thing at Trophy Light, but it's. We'll just make sure that we do it on one of the races you don't finish in the top five.
Perfect. So, sounds good.
Anyway, congratulations to Luke Knupp, Golden Boy, out of the Luke Knupp Racing Camp. Jeff, congratulations. You worked your ass off for that. Really, really cool. I have no idea how the other guys did because we hauled ass as soon as that was over, went to dinner, and because Josh had to race Sprint Hero the next day, which was Sunday. I already knew that I was not going to ride, but I didn't tell them. So, bam, That was last weekend. Josh ends up winning his class. I got third in my class. Your buddies got second and third in the class. So technically, we had a our campsite sweep.
Yeah, we swept the podium.
Of open C.
Right.
And then 40 over C, we swept third place.
Which hold on. Yes, we did sweep third place. Which is weird because we swept open C on a 300, a 450, and a 250.
Yeah, you had one open bike.
Yes.
In the whole deal. Pretty funny. That is true. But I will say that 300 had to be ideal for that course, technical it was and how gross it was and how stupid it was. It was rough and nasty. It's not my type of riding, but it was cool.
The bike.
It was very technical.
And we need to bump the idle up on it.
Yeah, I could see that for that and probably get a recluse if we're going to do that style of racing, but that's not for me. So that leads us to last weekend. Was the kickoff for Nora, was Off-Road Expo, was the Silver State 300 pre-run, and of course, Supercross. So, again, a full weekend. I'm not sure what the Off-Road Expo people are thinking, family, Lindsay and Jackie and everybody over at Family Events. I'm confused by putting this on the same time as Nora. You know, when you have Method Wheels and Ultra Wheels and you know, Yokohama Tires and all these guys that are involved in that. I'm sure you had a great turnout. It's really hard on these companies when you have to divide your marketing team up and send some of them to one side of the country and some of them south of the border and all over. I really think we need to figure this out. I know we have too many shows, you know, things like that, but what's going to eventually happen is the shows that don't offer as much are going to go away. And, you know, people will keep coming up with new concepts, but the strong shows, Off-Road Expo in Pomona, you know, the Rally on the Rocks in Moab and Easter Jeep Safari and UTV World Championships, those unique Mint 400, those things will always take precedence and they'll continue to grow while these other ones, you know, fall off at the wayside and right. Then new ones will come up. Right. So, but, what an exhausting weekend, you know, the Yokohama guys were down, representing down in Ensenada for the Nora kickoff. And, a lot of the Trophy Light guys went north to Alamo, Nevada for the pre-run. I know Greg Bragg was up there, Chris Wardle, Jim Rossi, the winners, both winter boys were up there. You know, they had a great turnout, incredibly technical course, had another couple of cars burned down up there. I don't know what it is. I asked Chris about that today. I wonder why, because last time we raced there, a couple of cars burned down.
Yeah, last time they raced there in 2015, there were three cars that caught on fire.
Justin Lofton yard sailed at 110.
Right.
I came across his fuel cell first and still couldn't see the truck. It was so far away from the fuel cell.
And we came across a
Race Richie's brand new Class 10 car was on fire.
We came across the Class 10 car, and the Class 10 car was almost all the way, and I say almost because there was still some of it that was on fire, and those two guys and everyone around was just staring at it. Yeah. And that was, I cannot imagine what that feels like.
That was you. I was in the car when I went by Race Richie. He was just after Justin Lofton.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that was a KC Highlights sponsored car. I knew Race. I had helped him with those lights. And that was the maiden voyage for that Class 10 car. Oh, and I stopped and said, "What do you need? What do you need?" And he just went, he gave me the hands up in the air. What are you going to do? You know, at that time, there was still air left in the tires, but the flame was all the way past below the seat. I mean, starting at the top, working its way down.
So we passed a Class 10 car, and we passed a truck, and the truck was gone. That it had already burned, and the guys, there was nobody around it.
Yeah.
But the Class 10 car, which is weird, because it was 100 feet out of a pit.
That is weird.
And the tires were still burning.
Jeez Louise. Well, Chris made a good observation. He said, I think because there's so many hills, you're on the gas hard. And because it's a slow race, there's not a lot of airflow cooling that stuff down. And you're in the silt, or you're in sand washes, so there's heavy load. And things are running, especially engine-wise, things are running at their maximum temperature.
Yeah, it's kind of a perfect storm.
Yeah, your shocks aren't hot because it's not rough.
Right.
But your drivetrain is taking a tremendous load, and there's not a lot of airflow. And because of the altitude, you know, I think that, you know, your engine has to work twice as hard because you don't have the power and all that, you know. Like you said, it's a perfect storm, and I think that's, you know, they've got to bring extra fire equipment, and then, you know, it's in the mountains. There's fuel
yeah.
to burn. There's lots of wood. There's yeah. lots of grass. There's lots of whatever. So, you know,
then wasn't that the other thing? I could have swore in 2015 there was also like a brush fire
yes,
that was going on.
For sure, for sure there was, for sure. But I think that was started from one of the cars.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Because there was a whole big deal about that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So anyway, so that went extremely well. It was a 2-day deal. Best in the Desert always, you know, making
all these
sure.
cars caught on fire. But that was a really
yeah,
good deal.
It wasn't my deal. So. No, I wish those guys all the best. I'm looking forward to that race. I love that race a lot. Same race course that we rode on the bike, basically. And then the last time you raced this race, you won it, right?
Yes.
So that's good in the 1600 car. While that was happening, Supercross was going on. And so before the race, they dropped a bomb that Brock Tickle from the KTM had tested positive for a banned substance. And now this is a little confusing because AMA does not do their own drug testing. AMA puts on the Supercrosses in conjunction with FIM so they can call it the World Championships. So FIM doesn't handle the drug testing. So neither one of the race promoters or sanctioning bodies puts on the drug testing. This organization called WOMAC or something, anyway, they don't do it. They have this other company that does it.
Yes, the
organization.
American Anti-Drug Use...
Doping. It's not American.
Oh, sorry. It's the Anti-Drug Usage Association or something like that.
Something like that. And these guys are doing the drug testing out of Europe. And so he gets suspended. 3 rounds to go in the series. He gets suspended from a drug test that he took at San Diego. How long ago was San Diego? That was like the 4th round.
Yeah.
There's 16 rounds or 17 rounds. And we have 2 to go and he gets suspended. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
He should have been suspended the day after that race or had the opportunity. What if he was in the points hunt? Now, the reason why, I know you guys are probably saying, wait a minute, the kid took drugs, he shouldn't be allowed to do this. Well, the fact of the matter is if he would have taken Sudafed, he would have had this drug in his system, something you can buy over the counter at Fry's.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of over-the-counter drugs that have
that are,
this
right.
in it.
Vitamins, drugs, things like that at GNC, which is for wellness. You cannot take that would show up on this report, right?
Right.
Now, and some of it, and I don't know all the details, but some of it is you cannot have a trace of it in your system, or you are allowed to have a trace, but it can only be so much.
Right.
And then some of them are open. They don't care how much you have, depending on what the chemical is. Now, I guess that this stuff, there's a couple of interesting facts that I've heard on this. This stuff in a high concentration could certainly be a performance enhancer, kind of like a a energy supplement, if you will.
Yes.
However, they could tell how long it had been in his body. I don't know how, but they're saying that it was administered or put in or taken orally moments or an hour before the night event at the San Diego Supercross, which would make anything that it could do null and void for what its intended purpose was if he was trying to cheat. My point is that I think that makes that look like it was like a cold medicine or was a whatever. It wasn't intentional.
Right.
But let me ask you, what did you take on Saturday night back in January? You don't know.
I don't know.
You know, if you had a cough and Anaheim 2 was coming up next week, you'd want to curb that cough.
I'd take right? every pill known to man.
So, well, you can't if you're racing Supercross, right?
Right.
So, and I don't think it's always been very clear to what these guys are going through, but I feel bad for Brock if he has. Now, here's a young man that's 28 years old. The maximum sentence is 4 years suspension, which is, I think, what James Stewart is kind of going through.
No, Stewart had a 2 year suspension.
Okay.
But the rule got changed weeks after his suspension.
Okay. So I know that it can be up to 4 years, depending on what they do. I know that in his contract with KTM, that they would sever immediately, be forced to sever ties with him if he is found guilty of this. And there is a heavy financial penalty. And from the sound of it and talking, you know, hearing Roger DeCoster comment on it, somewhere to the tune of what his salary is for the year. Oh. So if he has been paid $50,000 of his $100,000 salary, now Eli Tomac makes $1.5 million. So let's say that Blake Baggett makes $150,000 a year. He has to pay back whatever he's been paid to this point.
Right.
So now I don't know about you, but some 28-year-old motocross kid probably doesn't have all $50,000 sitting in the bank.
Yeah, probably has little to no savings.
$11.
Yes.
And
is waiting for the next Supercross race so right. that he can get
exactly.
his paycheck.
Get paid, and hopefully he makes the box so that he can get that bonus.
Right.
So, you know, anyway, and I hope I'm wrong about that, but that's going to be tough. Now, the interesting thing, and you don't really think about this aspect. Obviously, we're in a litigious society, but we're also in one that it's got to be about fairness, and it's got to be about doing the right thing. Now, interestingly enough, think about this. KTM, who would have to know about this? It would have to be your trainer, Alden Baker, and you.
Right.
The guy that writes down everything you take, everything you eat, everything you drink, and he's your babysitter 7 months out of the year. He has to know. And this is the third or fourth race of the season.
Right.
Maybe even the second race of the season. Can you pull that up? Find out the schedule. When was San Diego? So, he has to know what you're on, what you're taking, whatever. And then you. And then all of a sudden this comes down 3 months later, and they expect you to know all the details? I think this is chicken shit. I don't like it. I don't like the way this has been administered or handled. And I hope they get this part of it figured out. Why doesn't the AMA, NASCAR has its own drug testing. Why doesn't the AMA have their own drug testing? Why don't we do it here in the States? Why do we have to do this in Europe where they're looking at bicycle doping, you know, situations,
you know,
and stuff
like
that?
You know what this is, right? Anderson's up to this.
Oh, you think this is Jason Anderson?
Oh, for sure.
Wow.
Because
Brock Tickle was right on his heels?
No. It was intended for Marvin Musquin.
Oh, really?
He said, get the guy in the orange, and Brock Tickle was the next guy to walk up in orange. And
diabolical. Thank goodness it wasn't Blake Baggett.
Yeah, the sport could afford to lose him.
So go to schedule. What else? So anyway, it's a sad deal. It's a black eye for Roger DeCoster. It's a black eye for KTM. It's a black eye for Brock Tickle, Alden Baker. You know, Alden Baker makes champions. Everybody said that Ricky Carmichael had to be on something because all that guy was, all he ever did was eat candy and just want to win more than anybody on the planet and work his ass off. But everybody said that he was cheating. And, you know, then they have, you know, Ryan Dungey, Mr. Perfect, you know, and here's a guy that everybody knows that, you know, he clearly couldn't take anything like that. Round one, an Angel. Houston was second. Anaheim third. Phoenix and then San Diego, right? Or no, Oakland.
Oakland.
So it was the sixth round. So it was round six, which was February 10th, is when this drug test happened. And it was levied. It was handed down on the 19th of April.
Nine rounds ago. So
that's so stupid.
Not even nine. 10 weeks have gone by because they had that off week.
Yeah, Easter. So, yeah, that's ridiculous. It shouldn't be like that. And now he doesn't have time to protest. And now, if he actually gets suspended for 4 years, he's 28. He's not going to come back after 4 years off and start right where he left off. He's done. He's retired.
Yeah, he better find a new career right now or be really good at baseball.
But what I was getting at was that KTM told him who his trainer was going to be. His trainer tells him what to eat. Is his trainer liable for this? Is Alden Baker responsible for this kind of thing?
That depends. I get that this is, Alden is in control of whatever you eat and all of that stuff, but is this, those are cold pills? Hand that over right now. And, you know, I just, anything to get better. Alden's not here right now.
Yeah, Alden's overlooking at his golden boy. Right. And Jason Anderson, you know, he's over talking to him. I need some help right now. Help me out.
Yeah.
Right? Honey, what do you have in your purse?
Yes.
Type of thing. So, but it's just interesting that, you know, well, you tell me I have to go use a trainer that's got four riders underneath him. And he's got Muscan, he's got Anderson, he's got Brock Tickle, and he's got one more. Who is it? Zach Osborne.
He's got more than that. He's got, I think, Forkner's over there.
Is he really?
I thought so. There's a Cowie guy.
Regardless, so that you're even making my point even more. So here's this guy. You know, you tell me I have to use this trainer. If I would have my own trainer, you know, I could have had one-on-one attention or whatever.
Right.
You know, now is KTM liable? You know, are they going to get sued because they told him he had to use this and this is his? You know, I don't know. There's just a lot of ways to spin this and a lot of ways for it to go.
For sure.
So
I think Alton's on drugs. I think Roger DeCoster's on drugs.
Wow. Well, probably not. You know, it's...
You don't think Roger's popping the roids?
I don't know. He's pretty amazing, man.
Pretty. I was thinking more roid rage, but...
No, he likes his wine and his country music too much. So, anyway, so that's what's going on. It was also the... what round was it? Where were they?
When?
Last weekend.
Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. It was a day race. It was really weird. I was getting my hair cut at 11:30 in the afternoon, and on was heat one of the 250 qualifier. It was really weird that it was on that early. And it was on Fox Sports Channel 10. It wasn't like on the cable deal.
Wow.
So it's
moving
pretty cool.
Up in the world.
Yeah, wow, wow, wow. But they have to do that because it's so cold there.
Yeah.
Right? This time of year. So, what did you think of the pass that Marvin Muscan did on your boy, Eli Tomac? I think that was Muscan making Eli his bitch.
Oh, just you wait till next round because I guarantee there's going to be a Tomac Anderson who can punt the kid off the track furthest. Muscan's ending up in the stands. Muscan just
over Steve Mathis's net.
He's a Frenchman. Muscan doesn't show up.
Oh wow, he's a quitter.
Yeah,
he's a no show.
He's a no show.
Wow, that's harsh. You've been angry today.
Did you not see Did you not hear the post-race interview?
Yeah, they weren't happy with each other. That's for sure.
No, and
Eli Tomac and
Musquin kept playing it off like, well, there's been worse things, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, these worse things happened to me earlier in the year and nobody said anything.
Right.
You know, yeah, for sure. He's, but he's right, you know? I mean, I think Jason Anderson blatantly took after him. And this, I saw it exactly the same way that Marvin did. I saw that Eli Tomac went a different line than he had been going, and he turned down early.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where he had been going. Guys,
I know, but his
lines every lap.
Yes, but a racing accident and someone cleaning your clock are two different things.
He cleaned his clock.
It was a racing accident.
It was not. No, no, no.
Whatever.
Marvin said,
"I'm tired of Eli Tomac.
Tired.
He's an amazing talent, and the guys. I'm just tired of it. Tired of it. Tired.
You're just mad because Baggett hasn't done anything."
Blake Baggett is a god. You take that back. No, Blake Baggett is my boy. I think he's going to do well outdoors. I hope he's healthy.
No, he's not. He's done.
So who's going to win Silver State?
Silver State.
In Trophy Light.
Bragg.
So has Bragg won the last race of the year, right?
Yes. No.
No.
Todd beat
Todd Jackson did.
Bragg had it.
Has Bragg won one yet?
Bragg is not.
I was thinking about that the other day. I know he was leading Tonopah.
He led Tonopah.
I know he was running away with Pahrump. But there was another one that he was also leading. He didn't win one? I thought he won one already.
He has yet to win one.
He hasn't won one yet. Well, he's a good choice. A really, really good choice.
And he's a roundy-round driver.
He knows
how
to turn.
To do this.
Yeah. And for the first time since he's had that truck, he's got a new motor in that truck.
Ooh.
He's got a little life in that motor.
Well, that could mean one of two things. Either he doesn't make it to pit one, or he does really well. Because you never know how it's going to go.
So he's having a stressful prep. So he put in, you know, new tranny, new motor, new converter, or, you know, all that stuff together.
Yeah. That's never...
The torque converters hit when he starts it up. You know, they're too thick, right? So bam, 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 bam. So then he's got to take everything apart, fix that. And then something else happened and something else happened. Anyway, he's having one of those stories that you tell on the podium after you when you win the thing and go, man, I didn't think we were going to get here. We had this problem, this problem, this problem, and here we are with the win, right?
Yeah.
No, nobody ever goes, oh, man, it was so easy. We didn't even work on the truck. We didn't even wash it. We just drove here and we won and we went home. And
hold on. Vegas Torino 2 years ago.
When you won?
Yeah.
I worked my ass off on that truck.
For like 30 minutes.
30 minutes?
Yeah.
Mike Watson and I worked. We put a whole new front end on that car because you had devoured every Heim on that thing. For sure. That we...
And then...
Yes, you're right. You did nothing.
And then...
You didn't even wash
it.
No,
we prepped it Wednesday. We invited everyone over, prepped it Wednesday.
Before that, the McNeils showed up. We had 26 guys, and we went, okay, you take that Heim off. You take that Heim
yes.
off. And that was everybody's job, and we were done by noon. No, that's true. That happened. That was super easy. But at the race, it was a two-day race. Saturday night, we replaced tie rod Heims, lower A-arm uniballs, upper Heims, track rod Heims. We replaced everything in that truck.
I thought I helped. Dude, I remember sitting
you
in the
hung
truck.
Out with Todd Jackson and talked about what a day and how great this life is be and how great Todd Jackson was while we toiled away.
I'm pretty sure Todd had bigger issues like is my co-driver going to be alive after he goes to bed?
Yeah, he rang Slater's bell pretty hard on
yeah.
that one. So, big crash.
When Slater was like he's like yeah, do you remember where we're parked? Yeah, we're way over there to the left. We're standing right in front of the pit.
You're in your pit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty funny when Doc Lipman was sitting on our trailer eating spaghetti and Slater walked up and he goes, there you are. How you feeling? And he goes, man, great. And you are? And he said, I'm the doctor that told you you were done racing. We've met. Yeah, we've met about a couple hours ago before you went to the hospital. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, he rang his bell pretty hard. But, you know, that's what racers go fast, man. It's a dangerous sport. But so you say Bragg's going to win.
I think Bragg wins this.
Bragg's going to win.
And
I think he's a really good choice. I think that's the winners have to be up there.
See, on my Silver State 300 picks on the whiteboard, have you noticed that mine is filled out and it's blank where your picks are? What did I tell you last night?
That I had to fill mine out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't. I'm sorry, I worked today. All right, so I'm going to go. I would pick Bragg if you didn't. But since you didn't.
I did.
Since you did, I mean, since you didn't leave him for me.
Yeah.
And I won't pick what you picked.
Right.
I'm going to go Travis Williams.
Really? Wow. Thoughts?
Travis, if he can go 300 miles without a cigarette, he will be so amped up by the time he crosses the finish line trying to get his helmet off to get a cigarette.
Yes.
That he will drive the wheels off the car. If it stays together, he will.
And
he's going to do well in his second race ever.
He's got new motor.
New motor, new trans.
New trans.
New shocks.
New shocks. New rear end.
Yeah, rebuilt shocks. New rebuilt rear end. Yeah. All that brand new curry bling out there on the rear.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Who's going to win Trick Trucks?
Who's racing? I don't even know.
I don't know how you bet against Jason Voss and it's so
dude, he has not done well this year.
This year.
Luck is not on his side.
He devours those races over there. So Vegas to Reno, Silver State, he devours those. I'm gonna say that Voss wins, followed by Lofton and then Serapis.
Really?
Yep.
All right. Lofton wins.
Okay.
No. Lofton. What? Lofton's on there twice. No. Lettner wins.
Lettner wins overall?
Lettner.
No way. No way.
How?
Because a buggy on those fast fire roads pushes. It won't happen. A truck has an advantage on those roads.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They push. I think he'll lose too much time. Down in the washes and stuff, yeah, for sure. He'll do really well.
Down in
well.
The tight stuff up on the mountains. Truck. Really?
Truck. Yeah.
Okay. Then can I change my pick?
Yeah.
All right. Sean Kroll.
Ooh, decent choice. I'm gonna call something here, right here, and I want it on tape. PJ Guglielmo wins 6100, his first win.
Ooh, he will not, but he will podium this race.
Okay.
And I'm telling you that. Ooh. Probably Pequoy.
Again?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So Silver State's coming up in 10 days. We'll be headed to that. We'll have go testing on Thursday. We'll have contingency Friday. The race is on Saturday. We'll come back home. Mrs. Cobb got us a house that sleeps 26 people. And so it's going to be crowded over at the Cobb Compound Northwest, and that's actually going to be pretty fun. I'm looking forward to that. It's a chase race, so that always makes it really fun. Then we get home from that, and we're going to Mexico for a race with Daniel Reyes. And then 2 weeks after that, We're going to go hang out at Kevin Windham's house with Travis Pastrana.
Health? Are you developing a... Are you having a stroke again?
I'm having a stroke as we speak right now. And then we come back from that, and we're off to vacation land, right? So
we got a busy schedule.
That's our life, man.
I know.
And then that same June 2nd, we're going to Barstow for a training deal for... Oh, no. That Barstow thing got moved to Sedona, and we're doing it, we think, in Sedona on June 2nd.
What training deal?
Six guys coming out for a driver's school.
Why are we doing that in Sedona? Sedona seems like not a very good place to do that.
Well, it's better than Barstow.
No, it's not.
Oh, yes.
How?
It is temperature-wise, and it is scenic-wise, and it is things for these people to do. Yeah, for sure.
All right.
And then... And that's also the Baja 500 weekend, which we might have our friends from Israel back in for the Baja 500.
Really?
And
we're not racing it, are we?
So I'm getting the shake off from Mrs. Cobb over there, but we'll see what happens. You never know. Sounds like a 1-2 1600 car race to me.
Sounds like a 1-2 1600 car race.
So anyway, that's that. So lots of stuff going on. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend. My buddy Keith Hook and I, over at Hook Your Brands, we're talking about, doing some things together, and, we're going to start doing some product reviews, and we're going to start doing some cool stuff like that. So, if you like what you hear, tell a friend and turn somebody onto it. If not, then, we don't like you anyway, but, thanks for listening. For Josh Cobb, Mrs. Cobb, everybody here at the Cobb compound, including my little Vinny. Everybody out in off-road land, thanks for listening.
And I couldn't say black.